All right, welcome back. We've made it to day 27 today. And if my math serves me well, we are 1 week and closing to our consecration day. Does it feel real? Should, because we've gone through 26 days up to this point, and as we're going to approach day 27 here right now, we'll be getting ever closer here to our consecration. So, today we'll be going over how St. Joseph is known as the Pillar of Families. But first, as always, you know, let's open in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving and merciful Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our talents, our gifts, and all that you have given to us. And we especially thank you for this time together as we learn, pray, and grow closer to our spiritual father, St. Joseph. And we ask that you continue to be with us as we continue to work through our consecration. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's get started here today. We got a little bit of a longer day, but this is, again, as always, we have another great day lined up here. So, day 27, the Pillar of Families. Pray for us. Those who are devoted to prayer should, in a special manner, cherish devotion to St. Joseph. I know not how anyone can ponder on the sufferings, trials, and tribulations the Queen of Angels endured, whilst caring for Jesus in her childhood, without at the same time thanking St. Joseph for the services he rendered the Divine Child and his Blessed Mother, St. Teresa of Avila. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph love families. Their three hearts are very concerned about what is happening to families today. Families are falling apart. Modern man has distanced himself from God and attempted to redefine what it means to be a family. As a result, divorce rates are at an all-time high. The majority of married couples use contraception. Abortion is legal. And it is socially acceptable for children to be raised by two dads or two moms. The family stands on the edge of a great precipice. Various programs backed by very powerful resources nowadays seem to aim at the breakdown of the family. At times it appears that concerted efforts are being made to present as normal and attractive, and even to glamorize situations which are in fact irregular. Indeed, they contradict the truth and love which should inspire and guide relationships between men and women, thus causing tensions and divisions in families, which grave consequences, particularly for children. The moral conscience becomes darkened. What is true, good, and beautiful is deformed, and freedom is replaced by what is actually enslavement. St. John Paul II. St. John Paul II is absolutely correct. God established the family to be a school of love, something beautiful, delightful, and life-giving. And the devil and his agents want to destroy it. How are we ever going to turn the situation around? How can we return to order? The only way is to elevate the Holy Family as the model and blueprint of the family. When the Holy Family is celebrated in society, we will again know the sanctity of motherhood, the heroism of fatherhood, and the blessing of children. St. Joseph wants to be the pillar of your family. A pillar is a foundation. In order for your home to stand on a firm foundation and be unshakable, your family needs St. Joseph. He will teach your family the importance of prayer, mutual respect, purity, honesty, forgiveness, love, and most importantly, placing God above all things. Saint Joseph loves the family. Saint Joseph, the pillar of the family, teaches us the importance of motherhood, fatherhood, and children. He is the saint of the childhood and hidden years of Jesus. He teaches modern man that the only true definition of a family is that it consists of a mother, a father, and children. The notion of a modern family is a deception from the devil. The redefinition of marriage and the family caused the breakdown of society, culture, morals, and true values. In the person of Saint Joseph, men can learn what it means to be a husband and a father. They must be self-sacrificing for women, children, and the common good. It is honorable for men to sacrifice themselves for others. Manhood and fatherhood are perfected through love, sacrifice, and faithfulness to those entrusted to their care. The exercise of such manhood is how husbands and fathers become pillars of civilization and indeed become holy. A world filled with men like Saint Joseph will experience a renewal of social and moral order. I saw Jesus assisting his parents in every possible way, and also on the street and wherever opportunity offered, cheerfully, eagerly, and obligingly helping others. He assisted his foster father in his trade and devoted himself to prayer and contemplation. He was a model for all the children of Nazareth. Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Silent Witness. The Gospel does not record a single word from him, Saint Joseph. His language is silence. Saint Pope Paul VI. We honor Saint Joseph as the man who taught Jesus how to speak. Jesus must have spoken in a style similar to his earthly father, using the same colloquialisms and having the same accent as Saint Joseph. Yet we do not have a single one of Saint Joseph's words recorded in the New Testament. Actions speak louder than words. Saint Joseph's silence and humility are the foundation of his greatness. Of all the men God could have chosen to be the earthly father of Jesus Christ, God selected Saint Joseph, the most silent of all men. Saint Joseph, although the greatest of saints, is the humblest and most hidden of all. Saint Peter Julian Aimard. You would think that to protect this precious treasure, Jesus, the omnipotent God would equip him, Saint Joseph, with thunderbolts. Wrong. Joseph sees in his arms a fugitive God, and he follows him. He finds consolation only in his submission and in his confidence. Blessed William Joseph Chaminade. Saint Joseph never wanted to be in the forefront of the drama of salvation. He preferred to remain hidden. His desire is for all the attention to be given to Jesus and Mary. The silence and humility of Saint Joseph are one of a kind, revealing his power, greatness, and influence with God. In the 17th century, Bishop Jacques Beignet Bossuet of France extolled the wonders of the silence and humility of Saint Joseph. He wrote, "Jesus was revealed to the apostles that they might announce him throughout the world. He was revealed to Saint Joseph, who was to remain silent and keep him hidden. The apostles are lights to make the world see Jesus. Joseph is a veil to cover him, and under that mysterious veil are hidden from us the virginity of Mary, and the greatness of the Savior of souls. He who makes the apostles glorious with the glory of preaching glorifies Joseph by the humility of silence. Bishop Bossuet thought so highly of Saint Joseph that he considered him to be the greatest human being in Christianity after Jesus and Mary. Although Saint Joseph's holiness is hidden and unknown to many, Bishop Bossuet reminds us that the holiest object of Christianity is that which is hidden and veiled. He states, "The most illustrious thing the church has is that which she hides most." Bishop Bossuet is referring to the hidden, most blessed sacrament reserved in every tabernacle around the world. It is interesting, however, that as exposition of the Blessed Sacrament has increased, so too has Saint Joseph been brought to the forefront of the church's attention and devotion. The unveiling of Saint Joseph reveals one of the greatest treasures of Christianity. Previous generations would have been delighted with the development of the church's understanding of Joseph's role and devotion to Joseph in modern times, because even though their understanding and devotion to Saint Joseph was in rudimentary stage, they still loved him and would have welcomed more light had it been available to them at that time. There have been unveilings of the greatness of Saint Joseph in the past. In the 14th century, many saints and scholars brought to the church's life and theology a greater awareness of the wonders of Saint Joseph through their own devotion and personal testimony. In the 17th century, Saint Joseph himself made an appearance in Europe that would become world famous and bring about an even greater appreciation of the importance of Saint Joseph. On June 7th, 1660, in Cadignac, France, Saint Joseph appeared to a shepherd, spoke to him, and worked miracles and wonders of healing. As the story goes, in the middle of a scorching hot day, a shepherd named Gaspard Ricard sought refuge in the shade under the trees on Mount Bessillon near the southern French town of Cotignac. Extremely thirsty, Gaspard did not know what to do to quench his thirst. Suddenly, a man of dignified appearance appeared to him, pointed to a rock, and said to him, "I am Joseph. Lift this rock, and you shall drink." The rock was extremely large, and Gaspard told the man that he would not be able to lift it by himself. Undeterred, the man repeated his order for Gaspard to move the rock. Gaspard reluctantly approached the rock and, to his astonishment, was able to move it. Immediately, clear water began to gush out from the spot where the rock had been. Gaspard consumed the water with great enthusiasm and rose to thank the man, but the man had vanished. Not knowing where the man had gone, Gaspard ran to the village to tell the people what had taken place, fully expecting to be ridiculed and mocked. His story was so intriguing that many people from the village followed him and saw the spring flowing with clear water. They also took note that the large rock had been moved. They could even see where the rock had once been located. For better access to the water, men from the village tried to move the rock a little further. It took 8 grown men to move it. It was then that it dawned upon Gaspard that he had been visited by the great Saint Joseph. As word got out about what had taken place, people began to come to the spring from all over France and many miracles occurred because of the faith of the people. They prayed to God for healing, and God worked wonders through Saint Joseph and the miraculous spring. The King of France, King Louis IV, heard about what was happening in the village and was deeply impressed. He was so moved that he consecrated all of France to Saint Joseph on March 19, 1661. He also declared the Feast of Saint Joseph a national holiday throughout all of France. The site quickly became so popular that the local people built a shrine to Saint Joseph around the miraculous spring. For over 100 years, it was a place of great pilgrimage. But at the time of the French Revolution, the shrine was abandoned and fell into ruins. It was restored in 1978 and is now operated by Benedictine nuns. On occasion, God has also taught the church about the greatness of Saint Joseph through the writings of saints and mystics, such as Saint Bridget of Sweden, Venerable Mary of Agreda, and Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. On one occasion, the Virgin Mary instructed Saint Bridget about the greatness of Saint Joseph, especially emphasizing the wonder of his silence. Our Lady said to Saint Bridget, "Saint Joseph was so reserved and careful in his speech that not one word ever issued from his mouth that was not good and holy. Nor did he ever indulge in unnecessary or less than charitable conversation. He was most patient and diligent in bearing fatigue. He practiced extreme poverty. He was most meek in bearing injuries. He was strong and constant against enemies. He was the faithful witness of the wonders of heaven." In modern times, God has continued to unveil the greatness of Saint Joseph through the writings of two of the most well-known, beloved saints of the Church, Saint Teresa of Lisieux and Saint Faustina Kowalska. Their respective autobiographies are among the most popular writings of modern saints. Saint Teresa of Lisieux describes her love for Saint Joseph in The Story of a Soul. She tells her readers that she had a tremendous devotion to Saint Joseph from her childhood. She recounts the story of how, when she was a little girl, she was miraculously healed through the intercession of Saint Joseph. Later, as a Carmelite nun, Saint Therese wrote about how she prayed to Saint Joseph every day, crediting him with granting her countless favors. In the Divine Mercy apparitions given to St. Faustina Kowalska, St. Joseph frequently appeared to St. Faustina and reassured her of his protection over her important mission of making God's mercy known and trusted. Similar to St. Therese, Faustina, too, prayed to St. Joseph every day and wrote about her experiences in her diary. Without a doubt, the saints and mystics of the Church have done much to reveal the greatness of Saint Joseph. However, above them all is the Virgin Mary herself, who seems to be doing most to make her husband known and loved. Think about it. Centuries ago, Mary was the first person to unveil the greatness of Saint Joseph by telling Saint Matthew and Saint Luke about aspects of the life of Saint Joseph of which they otherwise would have had no knowledge. St. Matthew and St. Luke never knew St. Joseph personally. They never met him or talked to him. The most likely explanation for how St. Joseph ended up in the New Testament at all is that Mary told St. Matthew and St. Luke about St. Joseph. The wife of St. Joseph is the source of information about St. Joseph in the New Testament. Mary wanted her husband to be included in the New Testament. St. Joseph didn't speak much, but his wife, spoke for him. Today, Mary is at it again. Through her various apparitions, Mary is making her husband known by bringing him with her and teaching the church about his importance. The Holy Trinity is the one behind it, of course. But there can be no doubt that Mary greatly delights in it and wants it as well. It seems Mary is once again asking Jesus to provide more wine for the wedding. In our time, Our Lady has helped us comprehend and love her dear and chaste husband, Saint Joseph. She has told us of the mystery surrounding him and of his greatness. She has let us know something of her love for Saint Joseph, the most lovable saint for years, held the Word made flesh in his arms. Blessed Gabriel Allegra. Let's take a look at several of the apparitions referred to by Blessed Gabriel Allegra, as well as a few that have taken place since his death. On August 21st, 1879, the Virgin Mary appeared to 15 people in Knock, Ireland. The apparition is popularly known as the apparition of Our Lady of Knock, but Saint Joseph and Saint John the Apostle were also present. No words or message were given by Our Lady or the other heavenly visitors. The apparition occurred in the pouring rain and lasted for many hours. According to the sworn testimony of those who witnessed the apparition, Saint Joseph wore white, was barefoot, and had his hands folded in prayer, with his head slightly bent toward Mary, as if honoring her great dignity as the Mother of God. It's a mysterious and intriguing apparition, but one that is fully approved by the Church. In 1917, the Virgin Mary appeared in Fatima, Portugal. On October 13, 1917, during the last of the six Marian apparitions given to the three young visionaries, Saint Joseph made an appearance as well. Similar to Knock, the skies were pouring rain on October 13th when Saint Joseph made his appearance. It was also on that day that the famed miracle of the sun took place. More than 70,000 people witnessed the sun grate and spin as though it were going to crash into the earth. It was shortly before the miracle of the sun took place that Saint Joseph appeared, holding the Christ child, and together they blessed the world. All three visionaries of Fatima testified that Saint Joseph and the Christ child simultaneously blessed the world. The significance of Jesus appearing as a child and blessing the world with Saint Joseph cannot be underestimated. The message of Fatima has great significance for our times. Sister Lucia, the longest-lived visionary of the Fatima apparitions, stated that the final battle between good and evil would be over marriage and the family. Heaven taught us on October 13, 1917, that Jesus works miracles, gives peace, and blesses the world through Saint Joseph. What Saint Joseph's presence at Fatima also signifies is that a crucial component of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a promise Our Lady made during the July 13th apparition to the three visionary children, is for the world to receive the simultaneous blessing of Saint Joseph. When the Church recognizes the blessing of Saint Joseph's fatherhood, Jesus will reign in hearts, and Mary's Immaculate Heart will triumph. In 1968, there were a series of apparitions of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph in Zetoun, a suburb of Cairo, Egypt. The town of Zetoun is believed to have been one of the places the Holy Family visited during their sojourn in Egypt centuries earlier. incredibly thousands of Zetun's inhabitants, including Christians, Muslims, Jews, and government officials, witnessed the apparitions of the Holy Family. As at Knock, there were no words spoken, no messages given. The apparitions took place above and around a Coptic church and were approved by the local Coptic ecclesial authorities. Perhaps the most significant of all St. Joseph's appearances in modern times were the alleged apparitions given to Sister Mildred Mary Nuziel, also known as Sister Mary Ephraim, in the United States in the 1950s. These apparitions are known as the apparitions of Our Lady of America. The alleged apparitions given to Sister Mary Ephraim occurred in Ohio and took place over many years. Sister Mary Ephraim died in 2000. At the heart of the message is a call to prayer, conversion, purity, consecration to Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, and devotion to St. Joseph. In 1956 and 1958, St. Joseph himself spoke to Sister Mary Ephraim. The message of St. Joseph to Sister Mary Ephraim are the messages of St. Joseph to Sister Mary Ephraim are extremely important for our times. St. Joseph spoke to her of his virginity, purity, obedience, and love for his spouse. He also informed Sister Mary Ephraim that God desires that the world have a greater appreciation for the sufferings of the heart of St. Joseph, the greater appreciation of the sufferings the heart of St. Joseph underwent in union with the hearts of Jesus and Mary. St. Joseph spoke of the importance of devotion to his heart and spiritual fatherhood, as well as how God desires to bless all fatherhood through St. Joseph. The recognition of the wonders of St. Joseph is of such great importance that Joseph instructed Sister Mary Ephraim that God wants St. Joseph to be honored on the first Wednesday of every month, especially by the recitation of the joyful mysteries of the Rosary and the reception of Holy Communion. The message given to St. Joseph to Sister Mary Ephraim on March 18th and 19th, 1958, are of such spiritual importance and magnitude that they need to be presented here in their entirety. Sister Mary Ephraim wrote, "On March 11th, 1958, Our Lady said to me, 'St. Joseph will come on the eve of his feast. Prepare yourself well. There will be a special message. My holy spouse has an important part to play in bringing peace to the world.'" March 18th, 1958. St. Joseph came as was promised, and these are the words he spoke at this time. "Kneel down, my daughter, for what you will hear and what you will write will bring countless souls to a new way of life. Through you, small one, the Trinity desires to make known to souls its desire to be adored, honored, and loved within the kingdom, the interior kingdom of their hearts. I bring to souls the purity of my life and the obedience that crowned it. All fatherhood is blessed in me, whom the Eternal Father chose as his representative on earth, the Virgin Father of his own divine Son. Through me, the Heavenly Father has blessed all fatherhood, and through me he continues and will continue to do so until the end of time. My spiritual fatherhood extends to all God's children, and together with my virgin spouse, I watch over them with great love and solicitude. Fathers must come to me, small one, to learn obedience and authority. To the church, always, as the mouthpiece of God, to the laws of the country in which they live,
insofar as these do not go against God and their neighbor. Mine was perfect obedience to the divine will, as it was shown and made known to me by the Jewish law and religion. To be careless in this is most displeasing to God, and will be severely punished in the next world. Let fathers also imitate my great purity of life and the deep respect I held for my immaculate spouse. Let them be an example to their children and fellow men, never willfully doing anything that would cause scandal among God's people. Fatherhood is from God, and it must take once again its rightful place among men. As Saint Joseph ceased speaking, I saw his most pure heart. It seemed to be lying on a cross, which was of brown color. It appeared to me that at the top of the heart, in the midst of the flames pouring out, was a pure white lily. When I heard these words, "Behold, this pure heart, so pleasing to him who made it." Saint Joseph then continued, "The cross, my little one, upon which my heart rests, is the cross of the Passion, which was ever present before me, causing me intense suffering. I desire souls to come to my heart, that they may learn true union with the divine will. It is enough, my child. I will come again tomorrow. Then I will make known to you how God wishes to be honored in union with Jesus and Mary, to obtain peace among men and nations. Good night, my little one." On the evening of the next day, March 19th, 1958, Saint Joseph again appeared to me as he had promised, and addressed me in these words, "My child, I desire a day to be set aside to honor my fatherhood, the privilege of being chosen by God to be the virgin father of his son was mine alone, and no honor, excluding that bestowed upon my holy spouse, was ever, or will ever, be as sublime or as high as this. The Holy Trinity desires thus to honor me, that in my unique fatherhood, all fatherhood might be blessed. Dear child, I was king in the little home of Nazareth, for I sheltered within it the Prince of Peace and the Queen of Heaven. To me they looked for protection and sustenance, and I did not fail them. I received from them the deepest love and reverence, for in me they saw him whose place I took over them. So the head of the family must be loved, obeyed, and respected, and in return to be a true father and protector to those under his care. In honoring in a special way my fatherhood, you also honor Jesus and Mary. The Divine Trinity has placed into our keeping the peace of the world. The imitation of the Holy Family, my child, of the virtues we practiced in our little home in Nazareth, is the way for all souls to that peace which comes from God alone and which none other can give." Then suddenly, as he ceased speaking, I was favored with a unique and marvelous vision of the glorious Saint Joseph. It seemed suspended, as it were, a short distance above what had the appearance of a large globe with clouds moving about it. His head was slightly raised, the eyes gazing upward as if in ecstasy. The hands were in a position similar to that of a priest during the celebration of the Holy Mass, only they extended upward somewhat more. The color of his hair, as also of his rather small and slightly forked beard, seemed a very dark brown. His eyes resembled in color the hair and beard. He was clothed in a white robe that reached to his ankles. Over this he wore a sort of cloak, which did not come together at the throat, but covering the shoulders and draped gracefully over each arm, reached to the hem of the robe. The cloak at times had, or seemed to have, the appearance of a brown, sometimes a purple hue, or perhaps a slight blending of the two. The belt about his waist was of a gold color, as were his sandals. His appearance, though quite youthful, gave at the same time the impression of rare maturity combined with great strength. He seemed a bit taller than medium height. The lines of his face appeared strong and purposeful, softened somewhat by a gentle serenity. I also saw his most pure heart at this time. Moreover, I saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove hovering above his head. Standing sideways, facing each other, were two angels, one on the right and one on the left. Each carried what appeared to be a small pillow in a satin covering, the pillow on the right bearing a gold crown, the one on the left a gold scepter. The angels were all white, even their faces and hair. It was a beautiful whiteness that reminded me of the stainlessness of heaven. And I heard these words, "Thus should be honored whom the king desires to honor." Whoa. If you didn't get that, read that again. Everything that modern man needs to know about the greatness of St. Joseph is contained in the message given to St. Mary Ephraim. St. Joseph's spiritual fatherhood, virginal fatherhood, youthful appearance, kingship, crown, heart, and cloak. St. Joseph speaks of his protection of the family, the importance of his fatherhood, and heaven's desire that a special feast day in honor of St. Joseph's fatherhood be established. God wants St. Joseph to be known and loved. My friends, do you realize what this means? The fatherhood of St. Joseph is a game changer. The significance of a feast day in honor of St. Joseph's fatherhood would do so much spiritual good for the church, families, and the world. St. Joseph is worthy to be crowned by his beloved children. The apparition of St. Mary Ephraim also teaches us that St. Joseph has an essential role in bringing peace to the world. St. Joseph is evidently an integral part of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Hence, his appearance at Fatima on October 13th. Our Lady's heart will triumph when the restoration of the family and God's rightful place in it takes place. None of this will happen until St. Joseph's fatherhood is fully recognized by the Church. Now is the time of St. Joseph. He that is the lesser among you, he is the greater. Luke chapter 9, verse 48. Let us allow ourselves to be filled with St. Joseph's silence. In a world that is often too noisy, that encourages neither recollection nor listening to God's voice, we are in such deep need of it. Pope Benedict XVI. The Litany of St. Joseph. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Holy Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Noble offspring of David, pray for us. Light of patriarchs, pray for us. Spouse of the Mother of God, pray for us. Chaste guardian of the Virgin, pray for us. Foster father of the Son of God, pray for us. Zealous defender of Christ, pray for us. Head of the Holy Family, pray for us. Joseph, most just, pray for us. Joseph, most chaste, pray for us. Joseph, most prudent, pray for us. Joseph, most courageous, pray for us. Joseph, most obedient, pray for us. Joseph, most faithful, pray for us. Mirror of patience, pray for us. Lover of poverty, pray for us. Model of workmen, pray for us. Glory of domestic life, pray for us. Guardian of virgins, pray for us. Pillar of families, pray for us. Comfort of the afflicted, pray for us. Hope of the sick, pray for us. Patron of the dying, pray for us. Terror of demons, pray for us. Protector of the Holy Church, pray for us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. He has made him Lord of his household and Prince over all his possessions. Let us pray. O God, when your loving providence chose blessed Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother, grant us the favor of having him for our intercessor in heaven, whom on earth we venerate as our protector. You who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Wow, what a day. What a day. Saint Joseph, the pillar of families. And as we went over just in the very beginning there in the reflection, how, it was referenced that modern man is distancing himself from God and attempting to redefine what it means to be a family, and resulting in complete peril and total despair. The divorce rates, all-time high, majority of married couples using contraception, abortion being legal, socially acceptable for children to be raised as two dads and two moms. And we're told and is reinforced that Saint Joseph is the pillar of families, and that none of that is acceptable in the kingdom of God. And Saint John Paul II really alluded to the greatness of what is true and good and beautiful. And that Saint Joseph wants to be the pillar of your family, and by pillar, the foundation of your family. And this consecration of Saint Joseph is an unshakable one, and your family needs Saint Joseph to teach of the importance of prayer, mutual respect, purity, honesty, forgiveness, love, and most importantly, placing God above all things. And I think it goes without saying, as it was definitely mentioned in here, that Saint Joseph loves the family. And in our deeper reflection in the silent witness, this really was impressive here, how they alluded to our Blessed Mother really wanted Saint Joseph to be included in the New Testament. And it was through her work with St. Matthew and St. Luke to accomplish this and to make that happen. And the silent witness that they referred to is powerful. When Joseph spoke, it was very deliberate and very holy. And the apparitions that were given to St. Mary Ephraim on March 18th and 19th, the day before and the day of his feast day, I encourage you to read that twice, read that a few times, because that was a lot of information, a lot that St. Joseph wanted relayed over to us to know and to understand and to act upon also. Not just something to tell us, but something to act on. And in closing, Pope Benedict, again, he wrote, "Let us allow ourselves to be filled with St. Joseph's silence in a world that is often too noisy, that encourages neither recollection nor listening to God's voice. We are in such deep need of it." And Pope Benedict XVI, I don't think he could have written more true words. We live in a very noisy world. We live in a world of distractions and all kinds of things that want to rob us from time spent with God in silence and with Saint Joseph, our spiritual father, who is the silent witness. So anyway, yes, this was definitely a wonderful day of deep reflection here. And as St. Luke wrote, "He that is the lesser among you, he is the greater." So today, God, we ask that you help us to keep in mind less of us, more of you. So have a great day, everyone. Thanks for following along and praying with me here. Tomorrow we will be getting into day 28, where we will reflect on St. Joseph being comfort of the afflicted. So until then, have a great day. God bless.